Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, Peter wrote to the disciples in Christ, baptism now saves you. When does it save? Now. Today. As much today as it did yesterday, as it did in Luther's time, and as it did in Peter's time. But how can baptism save children who are not born? What a crooked generation in which we live. The evil is called good, and the good is called evil. Abortion, rebellion, going after our own way. These are called good by our generation. Whereas life, that of babies not yet born, or those who have amassed many years worth of knowledge that can be passed on, letting these lives continued is deemed evil. Whether it is a child created out of wedlock, which is not the fault of the child, or elderly relatives who live in expensive nursing homes, our generation doesn't find it good for them to continue to live, but good for them to die. How crooked is our generation? Jesus came to give us life, and to give it to us abundantly. From conception through birth and baptism to death, and from death to eternal life. To hear more about this, we will start at the end of our first reading text, and we will work our way backward from there. Back to that Easter truth that we have life, and life in abundance, because Jesus was crucified for our sins. Peter, the same Peter who wrote that verse we just heard a few moments ago about baptism saving us, concludes his speech to those gathered at Pentecost, saying, "For the promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. The promise is for you and your children. Our generation ought to be ashamed. We, all of us in this generation, are only alive today because our mothers did not abort us. How can our generation condone preventing little ones from having that same right? But not just our generation. We as Christians also ought to be ashamed. We know better than anyone that life is a precious gift. We have been given faith to know that God created each of us individually, giving us each personally the breath of life. More than that, we know that he has given us his promise of a Savior who has brought us from eternal death to eternal life. And that promise is that it's not only for us, but also for our children. Don't hear me wrong. God's promise is completed in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, are for you and me as well. His promises are not ones that we only pass along to our children and no longer apply to us. No, they apply to us and our children, all of us. And as we've been hearing since Easter morning, they're not only for us and our children, but for all. For all who are far off and everyone whom the Lord our God will call to himself. You and I, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have heard how we were lost in sin. We heard and we repented. We repented through the blessed working of the Holy Spirit in us. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, his life, his death, and resurrection, we know that those sins have been paid for. We have God's promises fulfilled for us, for you, and for me. Through that same Holy Spirit, we have found that we are able to save ourselves from this crooked generation. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we have been led to the truth that life is a precious gift, and that baptism now saves us, our children, and can even save others who come to hear the word. We don't go along with our generation. We are ashamed of it. That's what Peter told his listeners anyway. He's told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, don't get me wrong, that first word is hard. Repent. We had to learn it when we were first saved, and we still have to hear it, and we still have to do it. That is the life of a Christian according to Martin Luther's first thesis of the 95 Theses. He wrote, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, in Matthew 4, verse 17, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. The entire life of believers to be one of repentance. And so we repent. And yes, it is hard. It is going against the grain. Our crooked generation says to look out for number one, even if that means the death of others. God says to look out for others, to love and preserve life, and to repent of sticking out for number one. Our crooked generation says to do whatever we want. God tells us to repent of that and to live for each other in love. But God hasn't told us to do these things and left us powerless to do them. He has given us his gifts to accomplish them. He has given us the washing of holy baptism. We only have to be baptized once, but we can remember it every day of our lives. One thing that you could do, and it's not found anywhere in Scripture, it's just something that you could do, is that my fiance and I have found our baptismal banners, and we're planning to hang them in the parsonage to be reminders of our baptism into our Lord Jesus Christ. And that way, whenever we pass by that room and see our banners, we are reminded we have been baptized into our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not that those banners are worth anything, but they remind us of the gifts God has given us in our baptisms so many years back. In baptism, you have also been saved through the forgiveness of sins given in that sacrament. But baptism is not the only place in which we find the forgiveness of sins. We have it in the absolution. We have it in the Holy Communion. The true body and true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith. And because you and I have been baptized, we have received the Holy Spirit, so that we can receive that forgiveness of sins through faith. What is more, that forgiveness is paid for all sins, every one of them. If you have had an abortion, if you have funded one, even unwittingly, if you have not loved your elderly relatives as you should, if you have not loved any of your neighbors or God as you should, the Easter gospel of joy is for you. Those sins have been forgiven. They have been nailed to the cross and they have been paid for on Jesus' very body, and he has been raised from the dead. Your sins are forgiven. He has saved you from this crooked generation. Peter told his listeners and us at the beginning of our text, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Yes, your sins and my sins were the reason that Jesus went to the cross. He went there to save you and me from them. That's right, to save us from them. To take us away from them. He did it to save us from this crooked generation. And he is in the process of doing that. The ladies gathered here who were at the LWML convention and have heard some of the things I'm referring to today can attest that yes, we are works in progress. We are under construction. We are not sinless, but we are working toward that end through the Holy Spirit. We are being worked on by the Holy Spirit so that we can turn away from our favorite sins, turn away from the sins of this wicked and crooked generation. And really, why wouldn't we want to turn away from sin? This generation favors death over life. It favors our pitiful, sinful ways over the loving, kind ways of God our Father. Why wouldn't we want to go along with God's ways? Though we are not perfect yet, we don't want to continue in this generation anymore. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans that those perfect things he wanted to do, he did not do as often as he wanted. And those sinful things that he didn't want to do anymore, he kept on doing. But that's just it. He didn't want to do them anymore. The Holy Spirit was working in him so that he no longer had desire to do those things. And through the same Holy Spirit giving to you at your baptism, you no longer desire to do those things either. You no longer desire to live in this crooked generation. But it's all about Jesus. None of this would be possible without his death on the cross of Calvary and his rising from the dead. Therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who was crucified for you and for me, and for all whom God would call to believe on his word. In Jesus' name, amen.